Well, good morning and welcome to everybody as we gather here today for the offering of this Mass on the Sunday morning. And to all of the guests, a special welcome. Your presence here today is a blessing as we all now come together for the offering of this Mass today. I ask you to, all of us, please keep in our prayers, Bob Marston and his family. Bob's, our condolences to you with the death of your granddaughter Tracy. And died as the complications from childbirth. So we pray that Tracy's soul be at rest in the peace of Christ and consolation into all of the family. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. My thanks to everybody who's been working, all the hands, large and small, that have been lifting the heavy load. In preparation for vacation Bible school begins tomorrow. If you came through the north entrance, you've seen the great transformation that's taking place, the mighty fortress of our God being held right here at the Madeleine this week. Know that for the children of this parish, everybody's welcome. Your friends are welcomed as well. We pray for a successful and wonderful week of prayer in coming together. Also, my thanks to what 20 some odd parishioners that gathered this last Thursday to take part in the event known here in Tulsa as Nightlife. It's an event held every Thursday. It's held underneath an overpass next to the county jail, in which people from various churches, organizations, and so on help feed the hungry, many of them homeless, to distribute food, to read to them, to bathe their feet, to offer haircuts, and all these sorts of things. Many of our, about 20-some-odd of our children and youth and their parents were there to experience recognizing Christ in the faces of the least of our brothers and sisters. We're here today to recognize the presence of Christ on the altar, but they were also called to recognize the presence of Christ in the least among us. I think this is not the only time that we'll have people from our parish taking part in Nightlife. Many reasons for Thanksgiving this week. Today is Father Michael Pratt, our new vocation director, who's in residence now here at the Madeleine. Today is the anniversary of his ordination, ordained 6 years ago today, so he's right now at the cathedral offering Mass and preaching. Holy Family, where he was ordained. Also, some things I'm learning, having these younger priests now live in the rectory, that I'm going to be going out to dinner or socializing with priests a lot younger than myself. There were 6 of us came together on Friday evening. I was the oldest by about 15 to 20 plus years. Now, in many other dioceses, you could get together 6 priests, and I might well be the youngest by 15 to 20 plus years. So I realize what a blessing that is. So, and offer then a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, if I was to ask for a show of hands of how many of us in the last week have offered at least one prayer of thanksgiving for the good things that God has given to us, I imagine it would hopefully be universal, especially if we were to extend the definition of offering a prayer of thanksgiving to the grace before meals. You know, as we offer, it's a beautiful prayer. We offer our thanksgiving to God. God is providing for our needs with the food that is upon the table from God's bounty in which we express our gratitude. So imagine if I extended it to that, cast the net as wide as possible, we would have, everybody would raise their hands. And now my hand would go up. Now if I change the question to say, how many of us in the last week has offered a prayer of thanksgiving when something bad happened to us? When there was a reversal, a rejection. I imagine the response would be crickets. Not too many hands, but my hand would not go up. Got some difficult things, unexpected things happened this last week, and I might have offered up a few things, but they weren't prayer. I can guarantee you that. Yet that's what Jesus is doing in today's gospel reading. The group of men that routinely come together on Thursday morning for breakfast at 6, and then we look at the scripture readings, particularly the gospel reading for the upcoming Sunday, and we use a reflection written by now Bishop Daniel Muggenberg. I'm still getting used to referring to him with that title. Well, he points out to us something that I think easily overlooked. When Jesus is offering this prayer of thanksgiving that begins the gospel reading, the context is that he and his disciples have just come back from 2 towns, one named Chorazon, the other one named Bethsaida, in which they have gone to proclaim the good news. The incarnate Word made flesh, the face of God's mercy and love is present on earth in the person of Jesus, and there have been a lot of doors that have been slammed in their face. A lot of rejection. A lot of no thank you. So Jesus, in response, offers a prayer of thanksgiving. And then an invitation to become a disciple. Be like one of these little ones. Take the yoke upon your shoulder and learn from me, for my burden is easy and light. Not exactly, I think, how most of us respond when doors are slammed in our face. You know, perhaps what Jesus is reminding us, challenging us as his disciples, as his church, to be disciples and to help disciple one another, is that there's going to be days in which the door is slammed in our face. Not every day is going to be 72 degrees sunny with a slight breeze. It's going to be a lot of difficult days. To be alive is to experience difficulty, to experience joy, yes, happiness, but also pain and grief and loss and rejection. So Jesus maybe is challenging us, when that happens, how are we to react? Can we see it perhaps as an opportunity in which God might be calling us to something else as disciples? That opportunity to, in humility, to become one of the small ones, to allow ourselves to be yoked, attached to Jesus and attached to one another as his church, to be led and guided into something else, maybe something unexpected. Because rejection can come in many different ways, and how we react can vary a great deal. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned two saints, Saints Felicity and Perpetua, who died as martyrs in about 203 AD, and how their close friendship, they were sisters in Christ. Allow me to use the example of two other saints, much closer to our own time period. Louis and Zélie Martin. In October 2015, they were canonized. The first time in the history of the Catholic Church that a married couple, their husband and wife, that they were canonized together. Now we have other examples of husband and wives being canonized, but never together. So you know, you got a church that's 2,000 years old. It's not often you have a first anymore. But it was a first for Louis and Zélie. They lived in France of the 19th century, and they experienced rejection. Doors slammed in their face. Louis was wanting to be a monk, believed after a lot of prayer, a great deal of discernment, that he was called to religious life. He enters a religious community, he's a novice and so on, and then one day his religious superiors call him into the office and they say, basically, in a nutshell, Louis, you're a nice guy, but this isn't for you. You need to pursue a different vocation. We pray for you, we wish you well, there's the door. See, the problem he had in the community, he had difficulty becoming proficient enough in Latin to chant all the prayers that they were coming together as a community to do so. He becomes a watchmaker afterwards. Now, Zélie, his future wife, had wanted to become a nun. She had siblings that were in religious life, a sister and a brother, and after a great deal of prayer, a great deal of discernment, she enters a religious community. And then one day, she's called into the office of her superiors, and they say, Zélie, this isn't for you. Not because of Latin, but because of her health. She suffered from chronic respiratory illnesses, chronic headaches, and they basically said, you know, we hope you, we wish you will, be praying for you, good luck, there's the door. She became a lace maker. Now, the two of these people meet, after this experience of rejection from within the church, by the way. And it must have been love at first sight. Because about 90 days later, they go to their parish church. On July the 12th, 1858, they are united as husband and wife in the sacrament of marriage. To pledge love, joy, happiness, to bring forth Christ in the sacrament of marriage, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do they part. And they had plenty of all of that. Louis recognizes that his wife is really good at her job as a lace maker, so much so that he quits his job and basically goes to work for her. and helping the distribution, the sales of this. So they have a fairly comfortable middle-class life. They have 9 children born into this marriage. One of the things that after that rejection at the convent that Zelie had prayed for was that she would become the mother of many children who could be consecrated to God. 4 of those children die in infancy. They buried 4 of their children. Extra $5 in the collection basket. It's a little rule here, unwritten rules. Now we're in canon law or the liturgy, but just kind of, a little extra, that's okay. I've had to do that myself. I've been busted with that a time or two. Are there 5 remaining children, Lewis and Zelie? 4 enter into religious life. The youngest one you have probably heard of, the 9th child, Thérèse, also known as St. Teresa of Lisieux, or St. Teresa of the Little Flower, who becomes one of the most popular saints of the 20th century. She dies at the age of 24 of tuberculosis. Now, her parents, the marriage lasts a little under 30 years. Zelie dies of cancer at 45. Lewis outlives her by a number of decades, but the last years of his life are difficult because of a series of strokes and so on. But in that rejection that they experience, instead of giving into bitterness, they realize the Lord is calling them to something else. They create a family environment with prayer, of love, of bringing forth Christ, of right worship, of having an appreciation for the awe and wonder of God in creation, that yes, their children were consecrated to God. They weren't called to the monastery. They weren't called to the convent. They were called to marriage and parenthood. And they gave us one of the great saints of modern times and their daughter Thérèse. So for us as disciples, on the days when it is not 72 degrees, sunny with a slight breeze, how do we react? When there is rejection, when the door is slammed in our face, can we allow ourselves in humility to see that maybe the Lord is calling us to something different, something unexpected? Can we be one of those little ones? Remember about Thérèse. She talked about her little way of serving the Lord. You see, the thing that Jesus experiences in the rejection is thrown at him from the Pharisees and from the scribes and the temple establishment, they refuse to become one of the little ones. Their pride, their spiritual pride, their arrogance leads to their rejection of him. Jesus, his own hometown, they reject him. Of course, the greatest rejection of all is the crucifixion. And of course, we know what God does with that. What God brings forth from that rejection is our salvation. How should we react then when the door is slammed in our face? I think Lewis and Zelie are good examples. And by the way, their feast day in France will be celebrated this Wednesday, July the 12th, their wedding anniversary. So for all you married couples out there and all you engaged couples out there, I'll be praying for their intercession for you on Wednesday. That Louis and Zelie will have your back. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do you part. We are called to holiness. We are called to be saints. And how the Lord will lead us to there, let us have the humility to let him guide us, that being yoked to Jesus, that being yoked to one another as disciples, as his church, let us have the humility to let him guide us, lead us, correct us. The Lord doesn't cause the door to be slammed in our face, but he might be using those experiences to calling us to greater holiness, to more intense discipleship as his holy people. Let us not reject it. Let us be open to it, to be guided as his holy people, to become more authentically his holy church.